From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. There were two decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court today on racial bias in jury selection. Both decisions rebuke lower courts for not being vigilant enough in making sure the process is free of discrimination. NPR's legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The case of Thomas Millerell, an African-American convicted of murder 19 years ago, has been to the Supreme Court twice. The first time, 2 years ago, the court sent the case back to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals with orders to rethink its, quote, dismissive and strained interpretation of the proof of discrimination Millerell's lawyers had offered. The court noted that prosecutors used their peremptory challenges, that is, challenges for no stated reason, to strike 10 of 11 eligible black jurors. As a red-faced Justice Anthony Kennedy put it,
happenstance is unlikely to produce this disparity.
Moreover, as the court noted, prosecutors had questioned black jurors more aggressively than whites, struck black jurors who gave substantially the same answers as white jurors who were seated, and prosecutors had twice used a local procedure known as the jury shuffle to move blacks lower down on the list of potential jurors. There were other factors, too, like the training manual for the Dallas DA's office instructing prosecutors not to seat minorities because they would be more sympathetic to the defense. The vote in the 2002 Millerell case was 8-1, with Justice Clarence Thomas dissenting. But when it went back to the Fifth Circuit for further review, that court ruled that there had been no race discrimination. And amazingly, it adopted almost verbatim the language of Thomas's dissent, not the court majority. Today, the Supreme Court kicked back pretty hard, reversing Millerell's conviction and declaring that the Fifth Circuit's conclusion was insupportable. A six-justice majority said there is clear and convincing proof that the jury selection was tainted by racial bias. As for the prosecutor's explanations, the court said they were a sham and a pretext, as exemplified by the fact that 100% of the blacks were subjected to a trick question that would disqualify them, while only 27% of the whites were. Writing for the three dissenters, Justice Clarence Thomas said the majority was merely speculating that there had been discrimination. On the merits of the facts and the law rather than sentiments, he said, Millerell does not merit a new trial. In Texas, neither the Dallas DA's office nor the state attorney general's office would comment on today's ruling or say whether they would retry Millerell. But it was hard to see today's decision as anything but a rebuke to both the prosecutor's office and the Fifth Circuit. Eric Holder served as U.S. Attorney and Deputy Attorney General in the Clinton administration.
They really need to ask some very, very probing questions of themselves and wonder why a Supreme Court could make the specific findings that it made today that are so damning.
Beth Wilkinson, one of the prosecutors in the Oklahoma City bombing case, noted that in recent years there's been an evolution in death penalty cases, with the Supreme Court telling lower appeals courts to look carefully at the facts.
The Supreme Court is, as it's expressed in this opinion, almost frustrated with the Fifth Circuit's lack of detailed review of these cases. And I don't know if it's stubbornness by the Fifth Circuit, but I think the Supreme Court has made it clear that they expect more rigorous review by the Fifth Circuit and every other circuit in the United States of these death penalty appeals.
The Millerell case comes from Texas, with the second largest number of people on death row. The state with the largest number is California. And today the Supreme Court ruled in a second case that California was making it too difficult to raise the question of discrimination in jury selection. At issue was the murder conviction of an African-American named Sean Johnson by an all-white jury. Prosecutors used their peremptory challenges to strike all three qualified prospective black jurors. And the California Supreme Court upheld the jury selection, saying that the defense did not show discrimination was probable. But today, the Supreme Court, by an 8-1 vote, said that puts the bar too high. Writing for the court majority, Justice John Paul Stevens noted that in 1986, the Supreme Court established a framework for determining whether suspicions about discrimination are in fact true. And when there's reason for suspicion, as there was here with all the black prospective jurors excluded, then the prosecution must provide a race-neutral explanation, and the judge is then to evaluate the circumstances in their totality. Professor Elizabeth Semmel runs the death penalty clinic at the University of California, Berkeley, but she notes that today's ruling applies to jury selection not just in death penalty cases, but all cases.
The defendant doesn't have to prove at this first stage of the case that race discrimination by a preponderance of the evidence has occurred, he simply has to show a reasonable inference to believe that something unlawful has taken place.
The lone dissenter in the California case was, again, Justice Thomas. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.